What a delight it is to be here again. It's been 3.5 months. That seems like a long time. And then we sit and worship, and it seems hardly no time has passed at all, and that we're where we are supposed to be by the mercy and grace of the Lord. As we open Scripture, let's go to God in a time of prayer, asking for His blessing and presence and His Spirit to rest upon us. Lord Jesus, in this Advent Christmas season, we're mindful that You are the Word who has come to earth and taken on human flesh. And now as we open Your Word, in which the truths that You have taught and the truths of Your life are displayed, may Your Spirit illumine us, strengthen us, and encourage us in our faith. And bless me as Your servant. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing this morning from the book of Revelation. I had started a series of sermons on the seven letters to the seven churches, and we are on the last letter, Revelation chapter 13, or chapter 3, pardon me, beginning with verse 14. Revelation 3, beginning with verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you were lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Congregation of Jesus Christ, blessed are the lukewarm. What? That's the title of an article I clipped a couple of years ago. Blessed are the lukewarm. You know, in this Christmas and Advent season, that's the approach the world takes to religion and faith and God and Jesus. And maybe some of us too. Getting all wrapped up in Christmas with trees and sleighs and trips maybe to the snow and the mountains, lights and presents and Santas. But give not a thought to Christ and the meaning of this season. The Church of Laodicea followed the approach of that article I just mentioned. Blessed are the lukewarm. You can have your faith. You can have your religion. But don't actually practice it. Don't actually believe it. And for sure, don't get all excited about it. Blessed are the lukewarm. The devil in the world wants our faith and our observance of Christmas to be lukewarm, because then we don't create problems. With a lukewarm faith, we don't take a stand against the immorality of today's culture and world. We don't take a stand against abortion, sexual immorality, homosexual practice, or transgender changes. We don't take a stand against theological heresies. We don't take a stand for the truth of Scripture. And if we lived back then, we don't take a stand against emperor worship or participation in pagan feasts. Blessed are the lukewarm. Absolutely not, of course. We, my brothers and sisters, we need to stand watch. We need to be on guard that ours is not a lukewarm faith, a lukewarm religion. So let me ask, is your faith lukewarm when it comes to religion and faith in God and Jesus? Because of my wife's cancer, we have not been able to be in public worship very much since the last time we were here. You know one of the high points of being here this morning? Tom mentioned that. Singing with God's people. And I was thinking as we were sitting in the pew or standing and singing, I was thinking, wow, listen to them. They mean it. It's from the heart. And so I said to myself, Adrian, you're preaching to a group of people this morning who are not lukewarm. It means something to them. But now let me ask, am I right? Or am I wrong? Is there one or two of you, perhaps, maybe more, who really couldn't care less that it's Christmas and it's about Jesus and that you're here to worship Him? You know, we have so much exposure to religious things in our day-to-day lives. We have in our homes 3 or 4 Bibles, maybe more. I want to believe we all have family devotions. We come for worship. We have Sunday school. We have adult Sunday school. A lot of our children receive, maybe all of them receive, Christian training, Christian schooling. And we can have so much of this religious stuff that it doesn't excite us anymore. We just think, okay, yeah, we're going to church this morning, and it's not a big deal. But it is! Because we are not the lukewarm. Now, I want to bring up 3 points this morning: the letter's introduction, Jesus' evaluation, and His exhortation. Now, the introduction. This letter starts the same way all the letters start. It mentions who Jesus is. It starts in this instance with the note to the angel of the church, and it ends with what the Spirit says to the churches. Starts with church, ends with churches. A reminder, remember? Each of those seven letters is written to a specific church, but is also meant for all the other churches of Asia Minor, and is meant for all the churches of all times and all places, and that means it's meant for you and me too. And this instance is written to the church at Laodicea, and there are two things, two features of Laodicea as a city that I need to mention. First of all, Laodicea was a rich and prosperous city. How rich, how prosperous? In AD 60, there was a massive earthquake. The city was ruined. And Rome, the emperor, offered help, offered money to assist in the rebuilding. We don't need it. We don't need your help. We don't need your money. We are sufficient in ourselves. We are rich and we are prosperous. And so they rebuilt their own city without any financial help. Laodicea was known for three sources of wealth. They had a fantastic banking system. They produced and sold soft raven black wool. And they had for the ancient world an infamous school of medicine that produced what seemed to be a miracle eye cream that could stop and heal blindness. So a rich city. And secondly, they had an iffy water supply. They had to build an aqueduct to hot springs 6 miles outside of the city. And so the water would come from the hot springs, traveling all 6 miles, and guess what? By the time it got to Laodicea, the water was not hot, not cold. You know what I'm going to say. It was lukewarm. Lukewarm. I took a shower this morning. You might say, thank God. I stepped in a little quick. The water was cold. I cranked it all the way up. Stepped in too quick again. It was too hot. Turned it down a little bit more. It was lukewarm. That didn't feel right. I had to turn it up again. Lukewarm, whether it's for a shower, whether it's for coffee, whether it's for tea, whether it's for hot chocolate, is not good. Now, Jesus, as I mentioned, is the author of this letter, and he identifies himself as the Amen. And you can look through the Gospels, and that word Amen shows up often, over and over and over again. And in our Bible translation, the ESV, it's usually translated as truly, truly, I say unto you. Or I tell you the truth. That's a translation of the word Amen. And you can look at the catechism, and what does that word amen mean? It means that all that I have asked, all that I have said is the truth. Said with the authority of God, as the messenger of God. Jesus is the Amen, and what he says to the church of Laodicea, what he says to us this morning, is gospel truth. Something we can depend on, something we can focus on, something we can depend on. What else is he? The faithful and true witness. Now here I have to quarrel with the translation efforts of the ESV. In the Greek, it's three separate words. Faithful, true, witness. First of all, faithful. We can go back a couple of letters to Revelation chapter 2 and we meet a guy called Antipas. He was faithful. How faithful? He was willing to be persecuted, to be challenged by the world, by the Roman authorities, for his faith. Jesus is faithful. Faithful to the mission God gave him from the beginning of time and before time. Faithful in terms of the mission to save. Faithful in supporting his church, guarding her and keeping her. And he is true. True to what? True to his promises, true to his word. He is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can depend on what he says. And he is the witness. Now the Greek uses a word we all know. It's the word martyr. And that probably says everything about witness for back then, that time, that place, that culture. If you were a witness to Jesus, quite often you died for Jesus. In this case, Jesus died for us willingly on the cross. Who wrote this letter? Jesus, who is everything the church at Laodicea is not. The church is not faithful to Christ, not true to Christ, and her witness to Christ is almost non-existent. And Jesus gives us one more self-description: the beginning of God's creation. Another translation says the firstborn. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. All things come from him and through him and in him and are for him. That brings us to our second point, the evaluation. Notice what Jesus says, I know your works. Go back to Revelation 1 and we see a mention about Christ's all-seeing eye. He knows all things and sees all things and hears all things, and absolutely nothing escapes his attention. I know your works. Laodicea, I know all about you. I know what's in your heart. I know your faith and your religion. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Lukewarm. Lukewarm about faith and religion. Lukewarm about Jesus. Lukewarm about salvation and sanctification. Lukewarm about worship and Bible study and catechism. Lukewarm about professing her faith and living out the faith. They weren't hot, on fire for the Lord. They weren't cold, rejecting the Lord. They were wishy-washy, lukewarm. I know your works. You were neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you were lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Spit. The actual Greek is very much stronger than that word spit. It can also be translated as vomit. I vomit you out of my mouth. And do you hear what Jesus is saying? You make me sick! Sick to my stomach. I want to throw up when I look at you. Because you were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. I mentioned already, I don't think that's true for us. But you need to look at yourself. And the season of Advent and Christmas, and am I excited about Jesus and about the faith? Or is it just about Santa and presents and trees and all the other rigmarole? Now, how did Laodicea become lukewarm in her faith? She did not start off that way. I'm sure that at the very beginning of her existence, she was all on fire for the Lord, excited about the Lord, true and faithful in her witness about Jesus and his kingdom. Now, Jesus knows what went wrong. Remember, he knows, he sees, he hears. He overlooks nothing. What went wrong? This is what Jesus says, "For you say, I am rich. I have prospered. I need nothing." The church is like the city with worldly wealth, earthly riches. And this church made an assumption that is often heard or felt today as well. I'm physically wealthy, therefore that also means I am spiritually wealthy. You know, you can listen on the TV or on the radio, on the internet, and you can find the health and wealth gospel being preached. And they make the exact same mistake. Material wealth, earthly wealth, is equated with spiritual wealth and spiritual riches. Remember what happened in that city of Laodicea? No, they said to the emperor, no, we don't need your help. We don't need your money. We don't need your aid. I am rich. I have prospered. I need nothing. And this church made the mistake of thinking and talking that way with God. I am rich. I have prospered. I need nothing. You know, Proverbs warns us about that, Proverbs chapter 30, about those who don't have to worry about food, don't have to worry about bread, so they don't even pray about it. Though Jesus said all things come from him, and we need to pray daily for our daily bread and daily provisions. But the church of Laodicea, the people of Laodicea, we don't need God. We're rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. And to think that way with God, to be that way with God, makes you what? Lukewarm in the faith. Now, we live in America, the richest country on earth. None of us worry about our food and our drink. Do we think then that we don't need God? That we don't really need to pray for daily bread? I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. But notice what Jesus says. You are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, naked. You are poor. Said to a city known for its banking system, its wealth. You are naked. Said in a city known for its rich, raven black, soft wool. It's possible to wear tailored suits and designer dresses, but to be naked in the eyes of God. And you are blind. Set in a city known for that miraculous eye cream that heals various eye diseases of people who otherwise would be blind. The city and the church are wretched and pitiful because they don't know their true condition. But do we? Do you know you're a sinner standing under the judgment of God? Do you know you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked? So what is the church to do? Be earnest. We could say excited, enthusiastic, on fire. Be earnest about the faith, about religion, about Jesus, about God, and repent. Repent that you're looking at yourself and your condition, your city, rather than at Jesus. Be zealous and repent. How do they do that? How do we do that? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I counsel you. Now this is from the firstborn of creation, the beginning of God's creation. This is from the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Is it just a word of advice we can take or leave? Of course not. It's a command. Any city known for its gold, its finances, its banks, buy gold from me, says Jesus. Any city known for its soft black wool, buy white clothes from me, says Jesus. And a city known for its eye cream, buy eye salve or cream from me, says Jesus. Because when you buy from me, you are rich, you cover your nakedness, and you can see. Hear what Jesus is saying? Don't go to the city, to the bank, to the wool merchants, to the medical school, but come to me. Come to me. Focus on me. Look at me. Depend on me. He says that to Laodicea. He says that to the other churches of Asia Minor. He says that to you and to me. Do you feel lukewarm in your faith? Come to Jesus. Focus on him. Now, actually, it's not a case of us coming to Jesus, but Jesus coming to us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Now, those who are not reformed just love this verse. See, they say, we need to come to Jesus. It's up to us. Now imagine. The firstborn of creation, the beginning of creation, the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Is he standing there wringing his hands? Oh, I wonder if they're going to let me in. Oh, I wonder, I hope, I pray. No. He who is the Amen, the faithful, the true, the witness, the beginning of God's creation, is not at the mercy of man. But he knocks at the door of who? Not the unbelievers that the unreformed like to talk about. He's knocking at the door of his people, his chosen, to wake them up, to get them excited, to get them all stirred up about him. Is he knocking at your door? Because you have become lukewarm or lethargic in your faith? Let me in. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. Let me in so that you can have fellowship with me, the fellowship you once enjoyed, the fellowship that you need and want. And you eat with me and live with me forever. And then we hear this end. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let us pray. Lord, may we hear and listen and obey in this Christmas Advent season. Thank you for speaking, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your people here, for everyone excited about you, and work in us when we become easy or lackadaisical or lazy in our faith. Amen.